as you would imagine.
That checks out. That sounds right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Hello, welcome. Welcome to Debatable, a fake television show where we reflect upon how we used to write and read books and no longer do. Kevin Clark is here.
Hi.
Kevin Clark. Dominique, what does Kevin Clark look like to you given this personal three-person dynamic right now?
Oh, boy.
I'm going with he's trying to maybe give us a loan and isn't sure if he's going to do it, and it probably isn't.
Kevin Clark looks like my alibi.
I wanted you to know I would give you a loan, but it would be a scam.
Aren't they all?
I mean, mine in particular. Predatory.
Oh, yeah. God.
That is a tie of unreasonable interest rates.
Rising Sun was the book I was looking for.
Great book. But you know what's a great beer? Corona. Because we're brought to you by Corona. Debatable, brought to you by Corona. Alabaster, hello. Did you like that organic ad read?
So smooth. So organic. Well done. Mm. So smooth, like a Corona.
Like,
should we get started with the NBA Finals?
What's that?
It's a basketball game thing.
Oh, yeah, that. Yeah, let's do that.
Okay, cool. So we talked about this a bit last night, but obviously with, 12 more hours to digest and break down tape, because we are noted tape grinders.
Yep.
I want to ask you guys, after three games of the NBA Finals, do you have a sense of which team is better?
It feels like this. It feels. I said Warriors in seven at the beginning of this. It feels like the Celtics, though, are better. It's hard to deny that at this point. Based on, I mean, do we just go in on Draymond right now? Is that where we're?
Yeah.
Is that where we should go?
I've got some.
I kind of feel like that's the difference here.
Really?
Is that Draymond had one of the worst playoff games in NBA history last night. And he is now under fire because he's podcasting instead of playing as well as he should. He had 2 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists. And I feel like if Draymond is playing like that, the Warriors don't really have a 7-game series win in them.
How do you want Draymond to play?
How do I want him to play? I want him to score more than 2 points, have more than three assists.
He's not a scorer. I'm sorry. Kevin, you are going in a different direction, which was, I think, the right thing to do there. I
was going to ask Pablo if he saw – it's not just he's under fire for the act of podcasting. We all do that. We all sit around and podcast. Did you see what he did on his overnight podcast?
No. No, okay, wait. I know that he was called out in the post-game presser, Kevin, because he was giving away maybe X's and O's. He refuted this angrily, but I did not see his overnight podcast. What did he say?
So it's up. That's what a podcaster does. He just pods, There were overnight pods from Bill Simmons, Kevin O'Connor, Zach Lowe. Wendy was in there. I stole a bunch of Wind Horse's takes. You'll hear them regurgitated in about 5 minutes. However, Draymond Green said, I'm sorry this podcast is probably doing better numbers than yours. That was how he opened. And he said that win, lose, or draw, he's going to produce a podcast. Then he said he gave a shout out in the first 90 seconds to my old producer, Jackson, who now produces Draymond's podcast. And he said basically, this is what we're going to do. Doesn't matter what's going to happen. I'm going to produce content, and that content is going to do well. First of all, I'm not even totally sure about the numbers on Draymond's podcast. I haven't really seen any, but I don't know who he's debating with here. But I agree with you, Pablo, in that Draymond, I think, is the difference in this series. I mean, 2 points, it's ludicrous. They just need something. I have a couple stats for you. You guys probably wouldn't be surprised by that.
Quick stat me down.
52 points in the paint last night for the Celtics. Double what the Warriors had. 22 second chance points. Okay? Double what the Warriors had.
Double.
It doesn't matter if Steph Curry is the best player in the series. Wendy, by the way, my guy, we'll start the take stealing now, said this is the first time Steph Curry has not been on the better team in the finals. First time ever. Yeah. And Klay Thompson came out and said that he feels like this has 2015 vibes. Right? They lost game 3 there. Then they dusted off old David Lee and they figured this out. This is on Steve Kerr to come up with something, but I don't know if they've got it because the Celtics can go big. They can dominate the paint and they can let, the problem is they can let Steph Curry be great and it doesn't matter for the Celtics.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. The reason why I kind of scoffed at the idea that we're trying to blame Draymond is I'm fine with being critical of Draymond. He does need to play better, but Draymond is a guy who has never been asked to do what now you're asking him to do. This team is not as talented as the other team. This team does not have, they have a hard time scoring unless it's Steph Curry creating a shot, the Celtics playing poor defense, or a transition turnover bucket. And there isn't a, I can't think of a championship team or even a team that's made it to the finals that was that limited or at least that inflexible offensively. And so Klay Thompson, I would point to first, and maybe it's unfair to ask Klay Thompson coming off of two serious injuries to put up better offensive numbers, but it's just as unfair to ask Draymond Green, who's never put up great offensive numbers, to suddenly put up great offensive numbers. So being critical of Draymond Green, I think it starts with his defense, because we gave credit to them about game, we gave credit to him because he's a vibes guy. And he created the vibes in game two to allow them to win. But the problem is the Celtics ain't scared of him. Like,
no.
Draymond Green, they switched him off of Al Horford to then cover Jaylen Brown in game two so he could be more in the mix. He's covering Jaylen Brown in the first quarter of this game. Jaylen Brown went all the way the hell off. So, like, if you're not going to score points and you're not going to play shutdown defense, it's fine. We can be critical of him, but he's not the main problem. The main problem is they ain't good enough.
Wait. Alabaster, I know you want to jump in. I want to predict what you're about to say. I predict you're about to point out that Dominique said that there's never been a team as limited as the Warriors and as inflexible as the Warriors offensively when the Warriors beat LeBron James and his Cavaliers in the finals.
No. That's not.
I said to good, win a championship.
Good anyway, pull, because I am a LeBron stan, but no.
As am I.
What I want to push back on a tiny bit, and Pablo, you'll like this because I'm supporting your point. I actually do think that Draymond's deterioration is a problem. And I was shocked this morning looking at the stats of Draymond, not from like 2016, but from the last finals appearance in 2019. Because in that finals, he averaged 12.5, 9.3 assists, and almost 11 rebounds. This guy was an actual offensive threat, and he was sort of in that big point center role, and that is gone. They don't have to guard him anymore. And of course the defense has deteriorated too. Dominique, you're 100% right on that. And the rebounding is exemplary of that. But this guy, he's an offensive liability at this point. And he was the second best player in game two. And that was gone last night.
He was the hub of the offense. He was the point guard. Steph runs around everywhere. Draymond's the guy orchestrating. We've used this metaphor before, right? He is the conductor. Dominique hates conductors, incidentally. He thinks they're overrated.
No. Not all conductors. I love a good train conductor.
It's just
music
absurd that
orchestra
you
conductors,
think you think overrated. DJs you think DJs do more than conductors, which to
they
me
do.
Is offensive.
It's a fact.
No, I just David Guetta playing a button, pressing a button. Anyway, the point is, Draymond Green used to be a guy that you ran offense through, and now he is a guy who is lost. I mean, the fact you put up a stat there, Alabaster, before, right? 0-for-7 from three. The number that bothers me isn't the 0; it's the 7. Last night, he took 4 shots, 2 of them were threes. Why? Why are you doing any of this, right? Like, it seems like he's grasping for a way to matter. And while the Warriors in general are struggling from three in totality, Klay, 9 of 28 in the finals, Wiggins, 5 of 16, Poole, 7 of 18, all right, whatever. It feels like if you can't count him on for defense and not for offense, and he used to do both of those things to varying degrees, who's the second best player on the Warriors? That was the question we asked last night. I still don't know the answer.
So first of all, orchestra conductors, they ain't much but glorified dancers. Like, that's what they're backup dancers, but they're in the front. Like, all the music, the tempo, everything's on the page in front of them. You ain't doing nothing but extra dancing. You're just a spirit dancer with a tiny baton.
You're a rhythmic gymnast.
That doesn't, don't they like run things when?
No, they don't.
Who does?
The paper that tells you exactly what note to play and when to play it. They ain't doing nothing but tapping on the thing and telling you when to start. And then it's just from then on, it's just pop locking. They just pop locking the rest of the performance. It's just them dancing, doing look at me while they are not actually doing anything that matters. Just play this now. The paper told me to play it now. We've been practicing it for months. I know to play it now. I know how loud to play it and how soft to play it. You just want me to look at your butt while you're shaking. Anyway, Draymond Green. I don't remember exactly the series or exactly what happened in that 2019.
I'm growing
finals.
Concerned that Dominique has never seen a conductor, actually. I think you may be describing something else entirely.
What's the
twerking conductor?
Hold on. Let me educate me. I'm not ashamed to learn. Don't conductors have a little baton and they conduct?
No, I'm referring to the butt shaking. I feel like they're shaking the front part.
No,
which is
no. You have seen the wrong conductors, my friend. You need to come with me and James Harden to see the orchestras we mess with. Draymond Green. I don't remember exactly what happened in the 2019 finals. I know there were injuries, but I guess what I would propose to you is that Draymond Green was never a real offensive threat. Like, he was in offenses that were outstanding, which made it a lot easier for him to produce points. Now we're at a point where this offense is not outstanding because Klay Thompson can't contribute offensively, because Wiggins is like a slasher at best and can't contribute offensively. Now they have come to Draymond and said, Draymond, make some offense. When the best he ever really was like catching them those loony slips and laying it in and occasionally hitting for 33% from three. I feel like I think he had one season where he's like 38% early in his career, but like he's a 25% 3-point shooter.
He's terrible from three. Hold on. Looney Slips. I mean, is that a strip club that James Harden goes to? Looney's? I don't know. Maybe. But Kevin, I think there's a vocabulary question here, right? Because Dominique is talking about, like, what does it mean to be good on offense? I would say that Klay Thompson at this point is just a spot-up catch-and-shoot guy. He had, like, 20-something points last night. Yeah. That's useful. I think there's a difference between, like, being good on offense and running offense and being, like, a scorer. And I feel like in that kind of matrix of, like, skills, Draymond is just losing them is where I land
yes.
on it.
Yes. And it seemed like he was trying to create some value by playing really physically last night and working the refs and all that stuff. But he is a liability on the offensive end. I don't know how you can even argue that at this point. I don't know where his value comes from. I have a question. Is he even a good podcaster?
Oh, here it is.
You're the only one that listens to it.
Okay, I don't know. I saw a video because my guy Jackson got shouted out.
Shout out
I watched
Jackson.
30 seconds of him taunting. He said, quote, y'all are going to get this podcast.
Y'all are going to get this podcast.
And we did, I think.
I have to say, if he started his podcast with y'all are going to get this podcast, I believe he's a good podcaster. Y'all going to get this cast.
But it is, it's worth discussing because Draymond is sort of the self-declared new media. And we can talk about whether, again, Dominique, you're ahead of the curve on the whole players becoming media people thing. I feel like you should somehow get credit in terms of like the historical arc of broadcasting in this
Dominique
way.
Was the first ex-athlete to go into television.
Yeah, I'm very confused. Just
in
so you know.
But I'm just saying the previous eras should be acknowledged, right? And Dominique, you're of that era. You are
of
now
the previous
in this
era.
One.
Yeah, he's been lapped, is what you're
yeah,
saying.
Yeah, I don't think you – he doesn't get to be new media. So what does new media mean is my point. And what it means for Draymond is that he gets to talk all of the shit he wants, and he does it from a seat of authority. It's ex-cathedra because he's a player. The thing that I worry about with him is that we think of him as Charles Barkley, and he's not Charles Barkley. You know why? Because Charles Barkley laughs at himself. Draymond Green, look at that post-game presser last night. Look at the tone of the pod that Kevin just quoted for us. He's a lot more like Shaq in terms of like his ego must be defended and nurtured. And I get it. That could be very entertaining in its own way. But what is he? What is his podcast? It's a guy defending himself. And that to me is a very interesting wrinkle.
I would say this. The Charles Barkley comparison is interesting because he famously had a tiff with Charles Barkley and said, quote, no rings, can't sit at the table. And I think that when you are Draymond Green and you are not the best player and you're not the reason that you're winning so many rings, you are a contributor, but you're not Steph Curry. You're not even Klay Thompson. You're
bus
not
driver.
Even, yeah, you're not the bus driver. You're certainly not the bus driver. He has been defined over the past half decade by being winner guy. And that is being taken away from him in part because of his own fault, because he can't do it anymore. And people are going to start pointing the fingers at him. And that's why I think you're seeing him get so defensive in press conferences. That's why you're seeing him get so defensive on podcasts, is because winner guy identity is slipping away from him in front of his eyes. And he's got, they have three games to win to figure this out, or else, I mean, what else do you have for your Draymond right now?
I mean, I think winner guy is part of his identity, but it's also like defensive guy, tough guy.
Yeah, but that's winner guy. That's the overarching winner guy.
Okay, either way, I think that you're right. Like, some of his identity is deteriorating, and I think it's something that athletes are particularly familiar with. It's a difficult thing to deal with. So maybe he wants to go to another arena and own that now, which is what I guess he's trying to do. Yeah. But I don't understand the, like, animosity that's out there. It feels like that's coming from the media towards Draymond, or the animosity from Draymond back towards the media.
He's giving
like,
it to the media, is, I think, as well.
So, there is unlimited bandwidth. Draymond, say whatever nonsense you want.
For the record here, I love the fact that Draymond is doing this. It makes everything more interesting. The new media movement, I'm fascinated to see where it goes. I think guys are going to be varyingly good at it. I think Draymond, actually, what he's best at is breaking down basketball. Yes. He is like a basketball genius in that way. I do not dispute any of that, his understanding of the game and how to explain it and dissect it. The frustrating thing, though, Dominique, is when you're, I mean, not to, God, am I going to accidentally quote R. Kelly, but his mind is telling him one thing, his body is telling him another, right? Like there's a difference. There is a difference here. And we're watching it in real time when, yes, your body is telling you no.
Watching you in real time do all the calculations on that analogy was quite awful. Anyway, let's move on. As a former player, or I mean, when I was a player, it was frustrating to watch games and realize that the people covering the games and mostly like doing the play-by-play and doing the color commentary would call out coverages that were wrong and blame people that were the wrong people to blame. It still happens. So if part of new media is like holding our feet to the fire, I think that's more it than anything. It's like, it's accountability for us. I'm fine with that. Like we make a living off of criticizing people and also celebrating people. So we should be able to take some criticism every now and then. I don't know that people tuned in for our sports media debate going forward. Maybe they want to hear more about the finals, but since this series is over, this is probably more interesting because the Celtics are done with them.
I agree the series is over. There's two games left for them to win and they have two home games and that will be it for them. But I do want to, I mean, I don't know. I don't see a path forward. But I do want to push back on one thing you said. I agree that Draymond is a basketball genius. But I think there's a lot more basketball geniuses in the NBA than we think. They just don't talk about it. I mean, it's like the old thing about Tony Romo. Remember somebody saying one time, how many quarterbacks could do what Tony Romo does? The answer is not 32, but it's it's not one. It's not one. And Marcus Smart's out here. And he had the Warriors were 0-9 when they took a contested shot against Marcus Smart last night. That sounds like a basketball genius to me. And so I think that there are probably more basketball. If there's probably 7 or 8 in this series, basketball geniuses who could break down a podcast as well as Draymond Green. He's owning it. I'm glad. But let's not act like he has some unique ability here. He's in the NBA and there's a lot of NBA players who can probably do this.
Dominique, I feel like right off screen, because we know that this is happening somewhere around Kevin Clark, is Patrick Beverley. Patrick
Beverley. Right back there. Yeah. Declined to come on Debatable. He didn't want to smoke.
Because he knows
holding up signs. He's holding up signs telling Kevin to call him a basketball genius too.
Dominique, he found out that Dominique was here and he knew that Dominique invented the concept of athletes going into media. He got really intimidated. And said, I can't do this.
Oh, God.
That's right. It was OJ, then Dominique.
Oh, you are on a roll. Goodness gracious. Oh, no. Why don't you just bring up Bill Cosby? What do we got, Alabaster?
I want one take that I want to go back to, and it sort of connects to Draymond a little bit, and this is a basketball thing. And I'm prepared for your pushback, Dominique. But the Warriors rolled through the Western Conference and the Western Conference playoffs with Jordan Poole being a revelation and being their second-best offensive player. And I actually think his deterioration is a bigger deal for their offense in the finals than Draymond's. Draymond's is easy to point out because his numbers are so staggeringly bad, but he hasn't been as important to them all season offensively. They can't take Steph out of the game for 3 minutes without getting destroyed because Poole can't carry the offense. And I want you to look at these stats because this really shows, like, he was awesome and he's been terrible in this series. And we saw that last night. The Warriors came all the way back in that third quarter. They took the lead. They tried to rest Steph for 3 minutes because he had carried them back. And they couldn't. That's a problem. He's the problem right now for their offense.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I give Jordan Poole, I agree with you. So I don't know why you're coming at me because I was the one that's saying we can't blame Draymond when no one else has offense to contribute. But I guess I didn't expect that from Jordan Poole. I did not buy all the Jordan Poole stock when it was at its height. And he is a small guard who's not as special as Steph Curry. Yeah. So it's hard for me to see Jordan Poole as the answer. I understand that he was the answer for much of this playoffs. But to me, it comes down to Klay Thompson. And it's not that Klay Thompson like needs to play better. It's Klay Thompson, maybe he isn't better anymore on either side of the floor. Like that's what it comes down to me. Klay Thompson is supposed to be the number two. And he has not been that in this series or much of these playoffs.
The two things you mentioned, the 3 minutes and Steph coming out, the defining image of the finals to me is going to be the 1,000-yard stare Steph has when he's on the bench and he's helpless and he's just watching the Warriors get run off the court and he's just staring straight ahead because he doesn't want to make any facial expression. That to me is going to stick in my mind for a long time. Part of the Jordan Poole thing, it's the problem with everybody. It's the problem with Draymond. The Celtics have the best half-court defense in basketball by a wide margin. Steve Kerr doesn't know what to do. So a lot of this isn't us sitting around and saying, oh man, these Warriors players have gotten dramatically worse in the last week. It's no, the Celtics are really good at defense. They are elite in these playoffs. We talked about this last week when I was on the show, and basically their half-court defense makes everybody's offense look like the worst offense in the league, worse than the Thunder in these playoffs, okay? And for 82 games of the Thunder, could you imagine? Worse than 82 games of the Thunder. That's what the half-court defense of the Celtics does. And so I think we're attributing some of this deterioration of play. It's also the Celtics are just a damn good team. Yeah.
It is funny that Al Horford was on the Thunder last year, was told, hey, please stop playing because we're trying to be as bad as we're going to make opposing defenses, if you're the Celtics, look, opposing offenses, look, next season. And now he's there doing that to those teams. It is absolutely insane what the Celtics are doing.
I was going to say, we are giving Steph a bit of a pass on the defensive end of the floor. And he was good in game 2 on defense, like borderline great. And defense in game 2. He was bad in this game on defense. He got a couple early fouls and they were hunting him and getting anything they wanted off of him. And so the only reason why I bring that up is we hold guys that are in this Steph conversation to a Kawhi level kind of criticism where the expectation is you're going to be the best guy on this team. We need you on both sides of the floor. And I don't know if it's his size and he's incapable of getting to that level, but it's hard for me to think of him in the same way that we think of LeBron, Kawhi, like those type of guys.
The two-way
even
guy.
Though he is, if he's not going to go two-way. Like, I mean, 2022. Yeah. Free your mind, Steph. Go both ways.
I mean, Alabaster, I'm curious where you are on that, actually, as a basketball nerd dork guy, because, yeah, I grade Steph on a curve. I grade him on a curve because I never expected defense, and he's been surprisingly better at defense pretty much year after year. He tries really hard. Like, effort is never the question. I feel like on defense, effort is always the thing that is diagnosable immediately. That was the Andrew Wiggins issue before he joined the Warriors. So are we being fair or not? What do you think about Steph?
I mean, I think the standard of LeBron James is or Kawhi Leonard is impossible, and I think that, like, Steph Curry is someone who has to move so much on offense and carry so much of the offensive load that we do have to grade him on a curve. That's right. Like, it's impossible for him to be that lockdown guy. But with that said, like, he's made himself a really good help defender. He gets a ton of steals. He's improved on the ball. And game to game, we're going to see ups and downs with most defenders. Like, a guy in foul trouble is going to be hunted and give up more points in individual matchups game to game. Like, that's a stat that will regress back to normal over the course of the series. So I do think we're being a bit too hard on him for his defense last
Dominique
night.
Is just shaking his... For the podcast audience, Dominique hates you and hates the point that was just
so made. Much. Yeah, I mean, if we're going to carry water, at least carry water for everybody. That's all. That's all I'm saying. I'm completely fine with changing the way that we discuss athletes and being more fair and giving them leniency. But do it for all of them, because that's not we don't have that same energy for all of the guys who we think of as like these number one franchise players built around all time great top 10, top 15 in NBA history guys. That ain't how we talk about them. The way that you just made all of these caveats for Steph Curry. That's all I'm saying. I'm fine with us going in this world, but when we get back to KD talk, y'all better loosen up. We get back to LeBron talk. Y'all better act right. Get in line. Treat them the same way.
I think we have a LeBron topic on this show in like 10 minutes.
Okay, I'm gonna make sure that Alabaster has plenty of interjections that are in defense of LeBron James.
One, have I ever not defended LeBron? And then second of all, like, Steph's like the best 6'3" guard in NBA history. Like, what do we expect from him?
It's not what I expect from him. I'm not talking about Steph. Steph is great. He can do no wrong. He's so cute and shoots so well.
He's talking about you, the old media. This is the new.
I'm talking
here it
me
is.
And Draymond. This is
now, here we are.
You're gonna get these pods. Me and Draymond have decided that. Don't make me put these pods on you.
Is this a proxy debate for Kevin Durant? Is this what this is coming back to? That no, I was too mean to your beloved Kevin Durant?
It's not. It's not. You can be mean to my beloved Kevin Durant. I'm just saying it's not just Kevin Durant. It's everybody. Like LeBron, and it's not you only. It's just what you represent, old media. It's the LeBron, honestly, it's more LeBron than anything. Is we don't get the same leniency for LeBron when he goes through the finals in the way that he has. And it's just annoying and frustrating. So just treat everybody the same. That's all I want is a little equality. Who wants to come out against equality? You, Alabaster?
So for the record, Dominique has compared Alabaster to the old media, the worst mm-hmm. of us, and also that guy at the Celtics game who painted the Celtics jersey yeah. onto his back.
His name is White White.
It was... Yeah, White White. Yeah, there it is.
I love him. He's such
just incredible.
He's my favorite person.
By the one thing to put a bow on this, I actually like. I'm a huge LeBron guy, and I think a lot of people who really look at the basketball of this agree with you, Dominique, and that it's impossible to criticize him for those losses to the Warriors because the team was so ridiculous when it had Durant and Steph. So like. I think you're. We're in the same I think side, you're right. Bastard. Yeah.
I'm sorry. I was using you as a proxy for people who wear ties on fake TV shows.
Wow. Hey, he's right there. He's right there. And he's about to give us that loan.
It's a very nice tie.
It is. It looks
like find a new slant.
Oh, goodness.
Kevin is definitely dressing for the job he wants.
Which is what? Yes.
It ain't this.
It's definitely not this.
It is not this.
Oh, I'm just going to hang around the seaport in a tie and just see if they throw me on First Take at some point.
They will. They
honestly,
will.
They will. Alabaster.
The same with Pat Bev, and they'll just kind of usher me. Okay.
I mean, people need to know that that's actually what Pat Beverly has been doing. He's just roaming around the seaport, getting plugged into shows.
1,000%.
It's a good content. It's a great content strategy. Yeah.
Let's get him in here now to talk about LIV Golf. And our question is, what do you make of the PGA Tour's response to LIV Golf?
So, Kevin, you're a golf guy, right? You play golf, at least. You pay attention to this stuff. I had
asking,
to ask questions.
Are you asking dumb questions?
Well, I had to ask questions like, what does the you're PGA Tour actually do? No, that's a real question I've had to contemplate because I'm trying
that's,
to...
No. I'm sorry. That's a smart question. The dumb question was, Kevin, you're a golf guy while he sits here in the time. That was the dumb question.
I've not played in 4 months. I just want you to know.
For the podcast audience, Kevin has a caddy. Yeah. It's very bizarre that he showed up with an assistant. The PGA Tour, I've had questions about them because they're kind of like, they're not the NCAA, but they raise questions like the NCAA. Like, what do you guys actually do?
I just had this
like,
debate.
They're not regulating the majors.
Yeah.
The majors are what we care about. They can't really control the lives of the famous athletes. That's who we care about. So yeah, what do they do?
So wait, you're not asking what are they doing with the LIV Golf people. You're asking what the PGA does, just in general, as a governing body.
I think those questions are related.
Yes. No, definitely. So let's take a step back. So the PGA runs the tour, but they don't run the Masters. They don't run the US Open. Even the PGA Championship is a different entity, really, even though they'd have more say. And the British Open, from what I understand, they can't even ban guys because of just the way the laws work in Europe. And you can't ban anybody from anything, especially a golf tournament. That was written about yesterday. The PGA suspended all of the guys who left for LIV this morning. That was the news. It's indefinite. We don't know what that looks like. I think the rumor is that it's going to be years long. But I think that there's still a lot of questions about what they can even do. But no golfer cares if they can't play the Wells Fargo Championship and the Canadian Open and the AT&T Championship. They care if they can play the Masters. And they care if they can play the U.S. Open, which next week they will. So what's happening now is Phil Mickelson and Kevin Na and Lee Westwood and all these guys are going and taking nine-figure deals to go play
Brooks
15
Koepka.
Events. Bryson DeChambeau.
Sorry, I'm not a golf guy. Yeah, the other guy that he hates. Yep.
Patrick Reed. Brooks is a PGA guy. I thought you were breaking news on here. I was like, what? and so what's happening now is they're just going to be two split leagues. And I said to Dave Jacoby outside, I said, if your business model can be disrupted in like 3 days, didn't you have a bad business model? Wasn't the PGA Tour operating from a spot of weakness already? And his point was, can't Saudi money disrupt anything at this point? And aside from any individual sport, boxing, UFC, tennis,
soccer.
Soccer is harder.
Already happened.
The Super League is the most analogous thing to this. And the problem was, is that Chelsea fans went to Stamford Bridge and protested in the streets until Chelsea said, we're not going to do this anymore. There are no Kevin Na fans
Nobody.
Who are taking to the streets. There are no Patrick exactly. Reed fans who are going to block the bus in England to make sure he goes back to the PGA Tour. This is the reality. It's going to be two split tours unless they can ban these guys from the majors because they are overestimating the interest anybody has in the week-to-week PGA Tour.
Kevin, never been sexier in your life. Just the confidence.
Banning himself.
Oh my gosh, the confidence that you spoke with. It was exuding from that tie you had on. It just felt you were so hot. You just got into all that sexy PGA Tour talk. It was outstanding. I'm sorry. Am I making you uncomfortable?
Nope. I
don't want to.
I co-signed.
Yeah. I have never been more aroused by a demeaning of Kevin Na.
I think you made an excellent point, though. It was part of your sexiness was making excellent points.
Sure.
Is that if your business model can get disrupted by Saudi money, then you don't have a great business model. But I guess what rubs me the wrong way about this, and I think we should upfront talk about, like, this is connected to the Saudi Arabian Sovereign Wealth Fund and their government, and they have very, very awful ways of treating gay people and journalists and all that stuff is terrible. And no one here is pretending like that stuff is good. But I hate the PGA Tour. And I hate the letter that they sent to all the players. Mm-hmm. And this is completely separate from this particular tournament or this particular event. I guess just in my mind, and this comes from my union experience, is mm-hmm. I don't like them trying to put restrictions on the players. So mm-hmm. if there was another tournament that was put on by some other government that we all are okay and comfortable with, if the PGA Tour was not involved in it in some way, they would send out this same letter and they would behave in the same way. So I'm fine with us coming down on the LIV Golf tournament, but it bothered me when I read that letter and they used words like loyalty.
Yeah.
And then they at the bottom, they said that this is about money, money, and more money. What the hell do you think the letter that you sent out is about? It's about dignity. It's about integrity.
It's not about human rights.
It's about money, money, and more money. So I guess that just rubbed me the wrong way. They're using this as an opportunity to like impose some sort of control over the golfers. And if they're fine with it, they don't have a union. They've chosen not to. That's fine. Keep that going. But I just hope that I'm fine with them suspending these guys, whatever, that's fine. But if there is some other tournament that pops up in the future, I'm just not in the interest of limiting a team's or any athlete's rights, particularly when they don't have a union to collectively bargain like winnings or things like that. Right now, the only way you can up the winnings is go somewhere else mm-hmm. and say, look, y'all better pay us some more or we'll go play here. It's what happened when there were two leagues in football and when mm-hmm. what happened when there's two leagues in basketball.
Yep.
So Saudi Arabia, bad. PGA Tour, better, still bad.
Okay, so Kevin, I guess, I mean, I fully agree, Dominique, that like, you know, and we're not, to be clear, yada, yada, yadaing over Jamal Khashoggi and like the LGBTQ community and all that stuff. It's on record. It's abysmal. It's indefensible. And I think the problem is that, the protests that the PGA was maybe hoping for, the protests that seemed to follow the Phil Mickelson episode, which kicked all of this off, where it was like, wow, Phil is terrible. Look at these quotes. And I said this too, just some of the worst quotes on the record to an unauthorized biographer you could imagine. Mm-hmm. Truly, the whole like, I know they kill gay people, but we got to undo the PGA Tour. What has happened since is that people actually have nuance around all of the sort of like forces here. And I just wonder if those forces are bringing this to like, is this mutually assured destruction? Like what happens to golf if they are not going anywhere?
Bad stuff. Well, I don't mean like, listen, golf, if professional golf became less popular, that's no big deal in the world rankings of tragedies here. Having said that, the problem I have with LIV Golf is there's no idea there other than to exist and other than to disrupt. If they said we're going to make the game more accessible and we're going to make it more open and less elitist, in my opinion, it's going to make it more elitist. It's going to make it more less accessible. They're playing on a bunch of Trump courses that are extremely private and extremely expensive in most cases, or basically functionally private because it costs $600 to play there all the time. So they're not going in a direction that I think helps the game. And I don't think the PGA Tour is perfect by any means. I think that they've made huge mistakes over the past decade. But I don't know what happens to golf if there's just two leagues. Because as I said, the week to week, nobody watches. Like a million people watch the week to week. They only watch the major. So if there's some WCW NWO thing that starts where four times a year they get together and they say, oh, the LIV guys are really running away with this, maybe that's a little bit compelling. But on the week to week, it's going to hurt it. What's interesting to me is that I think that most people thought, to address your Phil point, most people thought the sponsors were going to be the driving force here. And that Dustin Johnson was going to pass because maybe the equipment company doesn't want to be on his shirt anymore. The consulting company doesn't want to be on his hat anymore. Well, guess what? Saudis factor that into their payment. And those guys are not what Phil right now, who used to have a million sponsors on himself, has literally a blacked out with marker Augusta hoodie on right now, or pullover right now. That's what he's got. No Accenture, no Callaway, no any of that stuff. And the Saudi said, oh, for your trouble, you lost all your sponsors. Here's the money you would have lost. So that's the problem now, is there's no way to put pressure on these guys to come back to the tour unless it's through the majors. I don't know what happens in the future of golf, except to say this is going to hurt everything for the fan. And I understand that these guys, you know, they're getting more guaranteed money. I understand all of that. But I don't know what the there is. There's no good idea behind this other than let's start a golf league.
Well, the good idea is if it wasn't Saudi money, if it was someone else's money that we could sleep at night knowing we're involved in, then the good idea is only having the good guys show up. That's a good idea. And having
they got Kevin Na.
No, I know, but I'm saying.
By the way, Kevin Na is doing like those Degeneration X crotch chops now. Yeah, absolutely. NWO point, for life, buddy.
The point I'm making is the only reason why the good guys aren't there now is because the PGA Tour is stopping them from going there. Yeah. So let's pretend LIV doesn't exist and we have some other tournament that's just the Pablo tournament, and he's allowed to pay Tiger Woods nine figures and he's allowed to pay all the top 25 golfers as much money as he can, and then that is the tournament. It's the Super League idea. It is absolutely a good idea when it comes to like entertainment value. Like, I watch golf when it gets down to the final day and it's three names that I know, but that so rarely happens, so I'm not going to watch golf. So that is the like seed of a good idea that's there. And I'm certainly, obviously, we can't avoid the LIV fact of this or the Saudi fact of this. And I would never, nor am I now, what about Chicagoing this situation. In this case, it would be what about China is what everyone uses. So it's okay to say that they're wrong, but it's also okay to say that when the PGA Tour uses in their letter that these other players are disrespecting you, they're talking to the rest of the members, the other golfers. By them going for this cash grab, they're disrespecting you. Like, that just rubs me entirely the wrong way. It seems opportunistic. They're trying to consolidate more of their power and force this loyalty. They're using this particularly egregious incident as an opportunity to take whatever power the future players may be able to accrue.
So I agree with that. Part of the reason they have to go with the loyalty thing is they can't claim the moral high ground, because what happens if there's another league like this a year from now that doesn't come from Saudi money? And comes from some bank that's well funded. The Super League was funded by a bunch of banks, not for the Middle East. I will say that there are exceptions already. I mean, like, there's already huge tournaments in the Middle East that these guys get exceptions for in January or February that the PGA does allow. So that already does happen. Or they go play an event on the European tour. That has happened. The Asian tour, whatever it is, for marketing purposes, these guys want to go over there for a week. That's fine. It happens all the time. But another league is a little bit different, and that's why I think that what needs to happen now is there needs to be elder statesman voices, Roy McIlroy, John Rahm, the guys who have already said it, and they have to have, it's up to them to come up with a better idea for golf. Like, nobody, the problem is there's a face-off between LIV Golf and PGA Golf, and neither of these entities seem to have a good idea between them for how to improve their product. The first good idea wins, okay? Because the PGA players keep saying, we want more control. The LIV players say, we want more control. Well, what are you going to do with that other than get a guaranteed nine figures? Give me one thing that you're going to do when you can make the rules yourself that's going to make the sport better.
Well, so Kevin, right. Like, so Kevin, you're poo-pooing the 54-hole thing. You're poo-pooing shotgun starts. Like, this is stuff that Live Golf is trying.
Yeah, it's a four-hour broadcast window because it's on YouTube.
Don't you disrespect things that are on YouTube.
Yeah, how dare you?
YouTube here is fine.
The PST
stuff.
Tour, the Pablo Tour. Well, you know what we're going to do? We're gonna be on YouTube also, but we're also going to let you play defense. All golfers can play defense.
Oh, well, the crowd. Now we're talking. It's important. I feel like the crowd should be able to be as loud as possible.
Yeah, you're yelling about no Absolutely. One has a good idea. Why don't you get some good ideas, Kevin? I like this defense idea.
Defense. You gotta no picking up the ball, no markers. If you hit someone else's ball, that's part of it. Bocce rules.
Oh, if it goes in the water, you better grab a snorkel. Get down there and get at it. Get down there and get at it. I think we're done.
Also,
with this.
Also, if you can track the ball in the air, you can jump in front of it. I feel like golfers should defend the opposing.
But you could also flip that, and it could be offense. If you grab the ball in the air, you can advance it with your hand.
Ooh, alley-oop style? I'm with this.
I like in hockey, you can occasionally do that. Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
You can't close – in hockey, you can't close your hand, but you can kind of bat it.
I love
Learned
that
so much.
I also love, by the way, at some point we established, like, oh, by the way, like in Britain, they don't allow any of this bullshit with, like, the thing that Dominique was talking about. It's like, well, oh, wait, so the laws there are just, like, more enlightened than I guess.
Well, the problem with the British Open and the U.S. Open is that the name Open is in their title. And so they can't be like, ah. The problem is the Masters, if they're going to ban these guys, we're not going to know about it until they send out the invitations. And then we're just going to have to do process of elimination and be like, oh, it's weird that Lee Westwood didn't get an invitation. Like, they're so private, they're not going to take a stand. But if anybody's going to
For the record, the only person on this show who's going to say, oh, that's weird, Lee Westwood wasn't invited, is the guy wearing a tie.
I have no defense to that. Unlike our idea to improve golf, I have no defense here.
Lee Westwood sounds like he should be like a sheriff somewhere. I feel like in the old West, you don't want to mess
British
with that Lee
and he's
Westwood.
He's never really won anything.
No. All right, guys, are you ready to move on?
Good gut.
Why not?
Okay.
I guess.
I got a what are the chances for you guys? And we have a sound that we're going to play to you after this question, and that is, what are the chances Kobe could have averaged a triple-double if he wanted to?
And he said, oh, LeBron got a triple-double. And I was like, you ain't going to never get one of them because your don't pass. And he starts laughing. And he was like, all right, I bet you $5,000 I get a triple-double the next game.
Oh my god!
And I'm like, all right, bet it. And sure enough, I think he was one assist and one rebound shy at halftime. We talked after the game. He was just like, and it just goes to what his mindset was. He was just like, if I wanted to, I can get a triple double every game.
So I have a couple of questions.
I have a lot of questions.
Number
none
one,
none of them are about this topic.
One of them was just, is that Chris Doohan?
Yes.
Yep.
Yes.
Okay. Good. That was my first question.
My question is that new media?
Yeah, that was my question. If this is the space Draymond is invading, he's gonna have success pretty quickly. That's who these guys are. Who he was talking about when he said, "I'm sorry, my podcast does better numbers than yours." He was talking about those two guys. You got Chris Doohan.
Shout out to a very popular show called Slow News Day. It clearly must be a slow news day if we are talking about the Carter cast. Is that what we're doing?
Shout out to the Carter cast. Just hustling Carter onto cast. ESPN.com's Twitter feed.
Yeah, of course he can average a triple-double. Or of course he can get a triple-double. Like he's Kobe freaking Bryant. I assume that as long as y'all want to hit 40% of your shots, he will average a triple-double averaged a triple-double.
Okay, so I don't know what number Dominique is giving that. I'm going to say – well, first off, I'm going to say that this is kind of why, again, Kobe, the legend, right? This is kind of why I want to puncture that some because
– it's nothing to puncture.
Say it? No, can we just say it? If a guy says to his teammate, I'm going to go average triple-double next game – can we just agree that's not probably the best thing for the team to prove the point that I'm going to go and do that? Like
You're asking a different question. The question is
you got to do something to keep propel yourself forward.
I mean, the question is, I think a lot of good players, like not even great players, a lot of good players could get a triple-double if they set out that day with their goal of getting a triple-double. I think that it may not be what's best for the team, but I don't think it's like all that impressive. I mean, I guess that he did it almost by halftime is pretty impressive, but I don't know. I guess if you're a ball handler, maybe centers, it's a little harder because they can't get assists or blocks as easily as a guard could. But I think most like perimeter players, good ones, if they said, I'm getting a triple-double today, would get a triple-double.
I think it's a fun little parlor game over the course of the season. Just like set little goals. Like you always hear, like Zach Greinke is famous for, oh, I'm going to throw a 60-mile-per-hour pitch. Like you're not going to do that 35 starts a year, but maybe you just do it to, you know, make your friends laugh. Like that's all we're trying to do. Debatable and playing professional sports are the same thing. We're just trying to get through it and just have a good time.
So it seems that Kobe Bryant has made 21 mistakes in his career because I don't think that he ever really wanted to get that many assists. Like it's he looked up and was like, damn, I got 8 assists. Let me slow it down.
Well, remember that game against Phoenix in the playoffs where he just kept passing it to prove a point? Like, I just think Kobe saw the game of basketball differently and said, okay, this is my canvas. I'm not going to play the same all the time. And I'm just going to do, I'm going to be a little weird. I'm going to do a little riffing. He's like, you know, he's doing some jazz fusion up there.
Okay, so what instrument is Russell Westbrook playing? Because he literally did this, right? Russell Westbrook did this twice. I don't think anybody was like, you know who's a basketball genius? I mean, far be it from me.
Wait, have you been
media,
on Twitter?
Speaking about new media, but...
I don't know.
Dude, I mean, it's just an it's an accomplishment that shouldn't be an accomplishment.
Dude, he's a conductor.
From every 24-year-old for like 4 years was imagine not respecting Russell Westbrook. That's what that was. Were you there? Did you ever log on?
Oh, not nearly. I don't know how it is that I didn't log on enough.
Look at Fox conducting.
I know.
See, he understands the skill involved now.
This is why the podcast audience needs to be the YouTube audience.
Oh, because you're on my side now. You're on my
side. On this show, hey, sponsored look at the by hands. Corona.
We're competing with Live
sponsored
Golf.
Sponsored by Corona.
On YouTube.
We are. It's us, Live Golf,
and
Partner Cast.
Yeah.
And the five feeds that Patrick Beverly is streaming simultaneously in one of those rigs on his face that he walks around with. It's hard out
here. New media.
It's so. Coming. So are we approved, Kevin? Are we approved?
Yes. At 30%.